Welcome to the Athletes in Action podcast.
We are a sports ministry serving athletes at the University of Missouri.
Join us weekly for conversations about faith and sport.
So, my family, on the left-hand side, from the far back, you probably think that's me. That's not me. That's my older brother. He's the strength and conditioning coach for the men's basketball team at Pitt. And we're very excited because on September 11th, he blessed our family. This is my parents' first grandchild. So we have a new birth, a newborn baby in the family. So we're all celebrating that right now. So up here, you probably can't see it in the far back. Obviously, the gentleman with the long beard like Moses, that's my father. The woman with the high cheekbones that I get my cheeks from, that's my mother. My little sister right here, and another one of my little sisters right here. Not pictured, it's five or seven of us actually. I have five sisters and one brother. So that's my family in a nutshell. And then this bottom picture right here, I put this in there when Cam asked me if I had any pictures, just because I think that full transparency is very important when you're trying to reach a crowd and you're trying to reach people. So as you can see, that's my father and I. So obviously when I moved to Columbia, Missouri, my wife and I, we purchased a home here. And just to give you a little history, we have a close, very close knit family. I have a good relationship with my family as a whole. Life was not easy growing up. Things weren't always easy. My father and I, he was always in my home. He was always present. But he was a disciplinarian to the T. So he was extremely hard on us. My brother and I, so we had our battles. We've had our ups and downs, but he's always been a present father. And this actually was taken when my father came to visit Columbia, Missouri. So he hopped in the car. Obviously, my parents aren't in the position where they can just hop on a plane and come visit, but they hopped in the car. They came to visit. And there are only three times in my life that I've seen my father cry, because I grew up in a home where it was, man, don't cry, man, don't show emotions. And that's kind of some of the things that I've had to deal with in seeking after God and trying to deal with some of those things that I dealt with growing up. But three times in my life that I've seen my father cry. One time was when I was around middle school. My father brought my brother and I into the living room, and he explained to us, because he thought it was a valuable lesson for us to understand, how he had to pawn his ring, his wedding ring, to pay a bill. So the tears that I saw in his eyes then, I never forgot that moment. So that was the first time I saw my father cry. The second time I saw my father cry is when he lost his mother, lost my grandmother. And then the third time was on this visit, because he was so proud that somebody who grew up the way that we grew up in the environment that we grew up, because I would be able to provide a lifestyle for my family that he was never able to provide for me. So just full transparency, that's that moment.
Thanks, Coach. Yeah. Thanks, man. So I know you grew up going to church. Kind of like Sarah's family, grew up with a good family, in the home. At some point in time, kind of like Sarah said, you have to make your faith your own thing, right? Yes. Mom can't pray for you. Mom can't have a relationship with God for you. You kind of got to have it on your own. What did that look like in your life?
It was a roller coaster. Because obviously I grew up understanding that God should be the center of our lives, understanding that we walk by faith and we're not by sight. And I searched for him. At a young age, I had such a passion for God. But you go through things in life, right? And I went through some things in life, and I got out there and I made some mistakes. But it's interesting how God's call has always been there. And I've always felt the need to go after him more and more. Because I'm reminded, so actually last night I was in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a scripture in Ecclesiastes 5:16. Because as Cam said, two of my biggest prayers in life, when I ask God, I ask God for a lot. Because I believe that he can do a lot. Two of my biggest prayers is, God, I want to be a man after your own heart, like David. and I want the wisdom of Solomon. So right now I'm in a study of the wisdom of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes 5:16 stuck out so much to me because King Solomon is talking about one of the biggest problems that he saw in the world at that time is that people spent their whole life working and nothing changed. Mm. And they didn't have an impact on the world. And I'll be honest, that's one of my, I don't want to call it greatest fears, but that's what it is. It's, I don't want to live and not achieve what God put me on this earth to achieve, right? So everything that I do is seeking after him. Mm. Because it says in the word that if we set our mind on things above and not on things of this earth, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the biggest things. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For it's talking about, for Christ died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Mm-hmm. And the key part about this is your life is hidden with Christ in God. So some of the reasons why I heard this definition of sin probably a while back. It was sin is simply searching for the right thing in the wrong place.
Wow.
Right? So I'm searching for fulfillment. I'm searching for answers. I'm searching for this. Sometimes it's I want to be loved. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's I need attention. We're searching for the right things, but we're searching in the wrong place. And that's why this is so important, because the author starts off with where to look. Set your mind on things above. And then he tells you why. It's because everything that I am, the whole purpose for God creating me is hidden in him.
Wow.
Right? So that's where, we don't have that much time, but it could take a turn, because one of the scriptures that has had the biggest impact on my life is Matthew 6:33. And just to give you a little insight in my walk with God, so I've always felt like, and I've talked to Cam about this and I've talked to Nate about this, is I feel like when God is, growing up, I always thought that when God speaks to you, when God spoke to me, I would hear an audible voice. Mm-hmm. Like I would know, oh shoot, like Moses knew, like, dang, right. God's really hollering at me right now, right? But as I grew and as I matured in the faith, I started to realize that it's almost as if God would talk to me in themes, and I call them confirming words, because I would get in my word, I would get in devotion, I would talk to Kim, even in the last 3 years when I talked to these guys, or when I would reach out to people who were strong in their faith, God would give me the exact same word over and over and over and over. And one of those words that he's placed on my heart that everywhere I go, and I bought this because this is what God is dealing with for me right now, is that whole Matthew 6:33. And it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago when God originally put that word on me. So it was like, okay, God, I don't want to leave this earth and not achieve what you called me to do. So you said, set my mind on things above. So I'm about to seek after you like never before.
Come on,
right? So this is an example. And Cam, we talk about this all the time. If you go to my office, you'll see 20 or 30 of these. So I really started to just dive in my word. I'm writing down the thing. I call them downloads, because when I get in my word and I feel like God is placing something on my spirit, I'm just writing, I'm just writing, I'm just writing. And then even recently, you know, this is something that God has been dealing with me, because another way that I feel that God speaks to me is through illustrations. And God gives me illustrations of the complex concepts of his word and brings it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like God was telling me, you're only seeking me partially.
Wow.
There's so much more to seeking me than just that part that you're doing. So I begin to pray on it. I continue to read the word. And I'm one of those guys where I'll read 80 different versions of the same verse to try to see what exactly there is there. And God gave me multiple illustrations about what it really means to seek after him, because I was seeking him in his word. And that's right. But there's so much more to it. And I'm going to give you guys an example. So, and I haven't even talked to any of them about this. Nate, can you do me a favor? I want you to just stand up and walk and go in that room right there. All right. So when I say the word, we're going to make this real interactive, right? Because this is fresh on my heart that God has given to me. So when I say the word Amber Alert, what does that mean to somebody? Somebody tell me what Amber Alert means. be on the lookout for what?
A child
has been kidnapped. So we're searching and we're seeking for that child that has been kidnapped, right? So you know that. What's the one thing that would happen if an Amber Alert went off right now? You're going to hear that loud noise on the phone, right? Mm-hmm. And that stuck with me so much because I thought about it and God said, there's a noise that should be associated with you seeking me as well. Mm. Because the word says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? So there is a praise. It says in Psalms 22:3, it says, God inhabits the praises of his people, right? And when I thought about that word, it's crazy because God placed that on my heart. I'm sitting down, I'm watching a sermon, and the pastor said, he said that you control the square footage that God has in your life.
Wow.
And now, if God inhabits the praises of his people, what would allow God to have more space in my life? Praise, right? So that's one thing that I was missing because I'm reading the word, but I'm not vocalizing it. I'm not praising. I'm not making a joyful noise. And then the other thing that came up in my mind about seeking after God with regards to the noise is, if a child went missing in the woods, what would happen? You would go looking for him. Now, what would you do? Let's say that child's name was Nate. What would you do? Okay, so you say, what, Nate?
Mate.
Now, how would you really say it, though? How would you really say it? Nate's missing. You're looking for him.
Nate!
Right? And if Nate, can I get you back in here real quick?
We need you.
Watch. And this came to me. So if you can go back to the very first slide. I'm sorry, I'm standing up. I get excited about the words sometimes. Right? So if you go back to the very, the first one. Okay. If I'm like this on the sideline celebrating my guys, why am I not like this when I'm seeking after God?
Wow.
Right? So God convicted me of that. This is for me, right? This is what seeking after him should look like. That's part of it, because that's a shout. I'm shouting because I'm excited for what's happening for them. But what about what God is doing in my life? Why am I not that excited for is doing in my life?
That's
good. So that was one part. So it's there's a praise, there's a sound associated with seeking God.
Wow.
Another thing that he placed on my heart. So let's say you're by a body of water. It's crazy how God places these illustrations. One thing that we use, if you're in a boat or you got the Coast Guards, you're looking in a body of water, they use sonar, right? So are you guys familiar with sonar? So basically, sonar is what they call echolocation, right? So it emits a sound underwater. So I want you to think about water as being a completely different dimension. There's a sound that's emitted, and it basically, there's a reflection of that sound back, and it detects or measures that sound, right? What is the role of the Holy Spirit in our life, right? Romans 8:26 makes it clear. It says, he understands our groans and intercedes on our behalf. So it's like, when's the last time, Nicodemus, that you actually got on your knees and sought after the Holy Spirit? Because in John 14, when Jesus is talking to the disciples, I think it's, John 14, 26. Here we go. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you. Right? So if I'm seeking after answers and I'm seeking after something, who am I supposed to go to? Because Jesus told us before he left that he would send us an advocate or a helper to help us, right?
That's good.
So that's one thing. And then the last thing, so it's, okay, God, I gotta make a joyful noise unto you. I'm in the word, right? I gotta seek you. I have to get on my face before you and have a more intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, it was like, if somebody's lost in the woods, what are you gonna do? You're going to fly an airplane, right? That's going to a higher place. So as I said earlier, Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, right? And one of the best definitions of worship that I've heard is, it's making yourself more aware of God than I am of myself.
Wow.
Right? So that's what worship is. Worship is, God, I don't care about anything going on. Because if you think about a time, if I was to say, let's worship God right now and place worship music, what would keep you guys from worshiping God? what's going on in the surrounding areas, what's going on in your life. Mm-hmm. You're more aware of what's taking place in your life than you are aware of God.
Wow.
So setting my mind on things above, because he says in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Wow.
Right? So it's already done in heaven, but we're so focused on this earthly realm, we're so focused on the things that are going on in our environment that we never really take the time to set our mind on him and focus on him. So that's just something that God, I'm fired up about it, because God is dealing with me about that right now, about seeking him on a more intimate level through prayer, through worship, through making a joyful noise, and then also getting in the word, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So as I spend more time in the word, my faith grows, and I can be obsessed sometimes because I don't like knowing the answer to something. And it's crazy how going back, the more times, can you go back to Matthew 6:33?
Yep.
Full transparency, because this is how it works. This was one of the main reasons why I started to seek God originally. And all these things will be given to you. Mm. I said, I'm going to seek God because, God, I'm in a position right now where I need you and I need these things. So I began to seek after him because all these things will be given to you. But what happened was, as I got in the word, God began to deal with me on some things. And it's like every situation that I was going through, the word had an answer for it, right? So now it's like, oh my goodness, okay, I got to spend more time in the word. And literally, I'm to the point now where if I don't spend time in God's word, something is missing, right? And one of the illustrations that happened, I actually talked to Cam about this one. If you guys, where was the camp at that you went to?
Colorado.
UTC in Colorado. If you left your cell phone in Colorado, how would you feel? Upset, right? So if I left my cell phone at the house, or if I lost my cell phone, I'd be so mad. I'd be so heated. I would do everything that I could. Like if Torrance Washington lost his cell phone, he might be late to practice because he's going to go get that cell phone. I'm just being honest with you, right? But it's like, how can I spend the day? How can I spend God, you breathe breath of life into me. How can I spend the day and not be connected to your power source?
Amen.
Right? How can I spend a day and not be connected to you? I can't go an hour without my cell phone, right? I can't go 2 hours without checking social media. How can I not wake up in the morning, a day that you allowed me to live, and not give you the honor and the glory?
Amen.
Right?
Come
so
on,
that's
man.
Why that's why I just I I'm I that is my power source. That's what we have to realize. Like, God is our source. God is like he says, he has all the answers to who you are. They're hidden in Christ. So if you're searching for something, that's my word of encouragement. If you feel like you need something, if you're searching for something, search in him.
Yeah.
Right? Don't search in the wrong things.
That's good. That's great, Coach Nate. So I had some questions, but he answered them all. How are we doing on time? What do we got? Let's do this. So we were going to do some discussion questions, but Coach, let's just keep it going, bro.
Let's go.
Does anybody else have any questions for Coach Nick? Anything you just like, man, that was good. Can you say more about that? Which you could probably say about everything, but if there is one thing. Kaysen, let's go.
Ecclesiastes, what verse was it?
Which one? 5:16.
Yes. What did that mean to you specifically? I feel like you touched on it. You
didn't
say a lot about it.
Yeah, hold on 1 second.
It's in one of the books, man.
Yeah.
It's around there somewhere.
Because I want to quote it exactly to you. Okay, Ecclesiastes 5:16. And this, too, is a very serious problem. People leave this world no better off than when they came.
Mm.
Right? So my prayer is, God, you called me to this world for a reason. It says in Jeremiah, "For I knew you before you were in your mother's womb."
Wow.
You created me for a specific purpose. I cannot leave this world and not achieve that purpose.
Yeah.
Right. And that actually, that's a great question, because it touched on something that I heard on Sunday when the pastor was talking. He talked about the difference between a gifting and a calling. right? So he defined a gifting. Gifting is something that is developed through practice, right? Everybody who is sitting in this room is gifted,
yeah.
Right? Everybody who is who's on the team who doesn't go to practice? Okay. Who's on the team who didn't go to practice and didn't hone in on that skill and work on that skill before you got here, right? So a gifting is something that is cultivated through practice. A calling is something that is cultivated through prayer, right? So those hidden things, that hidden, because Jeremiah 33:3 says, I don't know if I gave this one to you. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I will tell you great and unsearchable things. And some translations say, I will tell you great and hidden things that you did not know. Right? So God, I'm not leaving this earth without you telling me why you created me to be here. So I'm going to search after you because I have to know those hidden things. And the pastor said something after that that was provocative, but it was so thought provoking, because he said, if you don't know the difference between your gifting and your calling, you will prostitute your calling to the person that honors your gift.
Wow.
Right? And that's so important, because every last one of you are in here not only because you're gifted, but because you're starting to hear the call of God. That's what separates each and every one of you from everybody who's not in here. Every student athlete at the University of Missouri is gifted, but you guys are beginning to answer the call of God. So my words of encouragement to you are, continue to seek after him. Continue. You know how, well, you guys wouldn't know about this, but when I graduated from college, I didn't have an athletic scholarship. So Sally Mae was calling me all the time trying to get that money back from the student loans, right? And Sally Mae, she's persistent now. She was calling and calling and calling until she got her money. But why is Sally Mae calling me more than you're calling on God, who has the answers to why you're here and what he wants for you to do, right? Because Sally Mae wants their money, but money is earthly, because I'm setting my mind on heavenly things.
Come on, man.
Right? So I want you guys to just keep that in mind. That's perfect.
All right. I wish we had like another hour. You guys can leave. I'm just going to sit up here and keep going. Can we give it up one time for Coach Nick? You can tell somebody who's with God. Like, you can tell there's a guy who here is, he's searching what God's calling him to. A guy who could be successful at anything he wants to, probably anything. And he's saying, man, I don't want to just do stuff with my gift. I want to do what God is calling me to do. And he's seeking the things that are above. You can tell when the word is in somebody, because it just spills out, right? Yeah, 1,000 scriptures that he wanted to put up there, but they're just coming to him because he's in his word, man. So I just want to thank you, Coach Nick. I'm going to pray for us really quick. Coach Nick will be around, I don't know how long. He's up at like 5 a.m. to be in his word tomorrow morning. So he's got to go to sleep. But if you have questions for Coach Nick.
Real quick, and I'm not just saying this. I want you guys to. I personally am very grateful for Cam and Nate and for the calling that God has on their life. They are doing some very, very powerful things. And I don't mean to go over, but it just came to my mind. One of the other things that God was revealing to me when we're talking about seeking after him that I personally struggle with is, what is when a group of people come together, we call that a search party, right? A group of people come together and we're searching for something, because what that makes the search more powerful. And in the word it says, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there will he be also. And I think that what the enemy is doing in our world right now is causing such a division and such a divisiveness. Right. It's not about race. It's not about politics. It's not about anything. OK, it's about preventing us from seeking the will and the word of God. OK, so it's really spiritual warfare, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Right. It's a spiritual thing. Yeah. So don't get sidetracked by everything else that's going on. What I see right here, I see different people from different places, from different ethnic backgrounds, different nationalities, different everything coming together. Two or three are gathered together. And that's why I'm so grateful for both of them, because that's one of the biggest things. When I first got here, Nate came and we started to meet on a regular basis, and Cam and I meet on a regular basis. And it's that unity that has strengthened me. My bond, when I hold, so if I'm here, right?
Yes.
And I'm here, I just got stronger. Yeah. And then if we start to search and we start to seek, right? I'm sorry.
Come on.
Come on. His hand, right? And he grabs that and he grabs her hand, right? Think about how much stronger Amen. We just got, right? So don't allow the enemy to trick you to think it's anything else but forcing us not to seek after him, because that's the number one thing.
Come on, man.